Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. I want to finish our study today on the Jews and how that God has not put them on the, has not terminated them and got rid of them. And he's not through with them. But I want to do a summary of it today and bring this into play. We could stay with this for quite some time in the 11th chapter. We leaving out a lot of stuff that I'd like to insert and put in here, but we'll be picking up on that as we preach and teach in the days ahead. But looking at this chapter, I've got chapter 11 marked up very much in my Bible. But I want today to look at the last half of the chapter 11. We've looked at some of it, and we have skipped a whole lot. And we could stay here, as I said a while ago, a long time. But I feel like it's needful we go on to something else. We get down into verse number 26 is where I'll be reading. And chapter 11, and let's read this together. And then we'll go back and we will be over the entire chapter. But I want to look at some things that I believe was necessary. The Bible said in chapter 11, verse number 26, "And so all Israel," notice that, all Israel, that's important. God didn't put just little words in there to take up space. "And so all Israel," next word, "shall," that means that that's a promise, "be" what? "Saved." Now see, God's going to do that. That don't mean he's going to go back and save those that's already died and went to hell. Just means that God is going to deal with salvation. Let me throw this in before I get very far into this, in case I forget it, and the Lord reminded me to say it. I was speaking to a man last week, and he said, nobody knows when the Lord's coming. I said, that's absolutely right. And I said, but I have got it figured out that I know basically when. He said, when's that? I said, I can't put no date on it, but it's going to be at the appointed time. I mean, that was deep theology. He thought I was going to give him something, you know, way out in left field. But he said to me, he said, well, he said, we will not be called out of here, the church won't be called out of here until the gospel is preached to the entire world. And, I hear that. How many has heard that little, you've heard that all your life? And so they say, well, if you follow that philosophy this morning, you're going to say, well, the gospel's not being preached to all the world. And there's a lot of places it'll never get preached to, but you stop to think about it, they've done been preached to. The Bible teaches us, and I say this, and I don't go along with that that theology. I just don't get that from the Scriptures. And when he's talking about that, he's talking about the Bible teaches us that when the day of Pentecost came, the church was endued and empowered with the Holy Ghost. And he said, "Ye shall be witnesses in all Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth." And if you'll go back and study it, that's exactly what has happened. God bring from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, and God sent it out. And the world has already been preached to. But basically, I use this as a scripture like this. The Lord's talking about the second coming. Now, the second coming is in two stages. Now, we haven't read our text yet, but I got sidetracked, and I want to get this cleared up. The second coming is in two stages. Number one, it's in the rapture and the revelation of the Lord Jesus. He's coming for his saints in the rapture, and he's coming with his saints in the revelation. But between the rapture and the revelation, God is going to deal with the Jews right here that we're reading in the Scriptures. Now, when God seals the 144,000 Jews with the seal of God in their forehead, they are going, if you'll read the book of Revelation, they are going through the entire world and preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And so that's where that scripture really falls into play. And if you'll get that fixed in your mind, you won't be led astray with this crowd and said, well, the gospel's got to preach in all the world. Well, there's some countries right now that'll never get it because the gospel has been darkened out and pushed out. And many of them have done heard it one time. And if you got everybody heard today, boy, everybody has heard it. There'll never be a time, except maybe in the tribulation hour, that everybody's getting the gospel all at one time. One country's preaching it today and another country's not. You understand that? But they've heard it somewhere down the road. All right, so remember that. And keep that in mind. If you get that fixed, it'll, you know, everybody's got their own little theologies, and we got to put them where they fit in the scriptures, or they're wrong. So he said, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Sion, S-I-O-N, that's Zion, if you will. Old Testament rendering is Zion, New Testament rendering is Sion, with different languages, Hebrew to Greek. Sion, the deliverer. Now, who in the world is the deliverer? Amen. Somebody tell me right quick, you ought to know that. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the deliverer. He's the only one that can deliver. And shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. But Jacob is Israel. And so we know, he said he's the only one that's going to turn away iniquity. He's going to deliver them. God said he's going to deliver. Now, he's talked about up to the first 25 verses, the rules of the Gentile, or the rule of the Gentile, and how that they've been grafted in because the Jew has rejected Jesus. Now, we've seen that in our previous studies. So when we get into this morning, God has said, now I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do with the Jew. I'll tell you what I've done with them. Now I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do with them. So he says here, for this is my covenant. That word covenant is promise, an agreement. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Their sinful nation, but God's going to take that away. So we look at that. It's a blessing. Then he said in verse number 28, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. And he's calling them the elect of God, is what he's calling them. He said, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Now, you've heard us preachers use that, haven't you? You know when we usually use it? When God calls a man of God to preach, we'll say that God's callings, you know, are without repentance, and God will make sure they preach. We use that a lot. I've used it many times. But actually, that scripture is referring to Israel. We take it out of context, and of course, this makes a good application. You can apply the scriptures, the difference between application and interpretation, right? You know the difference, don't you? You can apply the scriptures to our own lifestyle and the way we live in this day. But sometimes we'll overlook the interpretation of it. But the interpretation of it this morning is that God has elected the Jew, that's his chosen people, and God will not change. God's saying, he's making them a promise in verse number 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God said, I have not forgot the Jew. I am not forgetting him today. And I will return to him and use him because the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. And God said, I won't repent on that. I will not change my mind about it. They're my people. Now that's the scripture backing that up. It's as plain as the nose on your face this morning. He said, for as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. He's still talking to the Gentile. He said, in times past, we did not believe God, yet now we have obtained mercy through who? The Jewish unbelief, because they disbelieved, we're grafted in. Now, God's explaining that even in the latter part of this chapter, as he has already done in the first part of this chapter. Verse 31, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. That's how we got it. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. See, because they turned away, God turned to us. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Then he says this, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. In other words, we can't comprehend the mind of God. Our mind is not God's mind. He wants us to have the mind of Christ. He tells us that in Philippians. His ways are higher than our ways. He knows we don't know. And the Bible said God's ways are past what? Finding out. Amen. We're not even smart enough to ever figure God out. The devil thought he had it and got thrown out of heaven. Amen. So we're not smart enough. So these theologians that's so smart and dug out all this stuff, they just think they're smart. His ways are still past finding out. And so we look here. Verse 34, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? In other words, who's ever counseled God? He had never had to have anybody to counsel him. Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And I like that. That's a three-point outline. For of him and through him, to and to him, number three, are all things. So we'll look at that. Now, I want to go back and do a little summary. Let's just think about this for a minute. We have learned from studying chapter 11 that there are several things that we can mark down ironclad in the Word of God that we can tell that we are in the last days of the day of grace. We have learned from Romans 11, 25, and I'll read it again to you. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. Now the mystery, this chapter 11, is a mystery to many. And it's not a mystery to you and me. We've understand it because God's given us the wisdom. But still a lot of people are in mystery with it. He said, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part, not completely, but in part, is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So according to verse number 25 of the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, we are learning and know today that the Gentiles are in the rule, I guess, not the rule, that's not the proper word to say, I suppose, but are in the mainstream of the gospel. God has given us the job of getting the gospel around the world. Right now, he's not dealing with the Jews doing it. Now, if a Jew gets saved, he gets saved just like we get saved, by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And if a Jew preaches the gospel, it's because God has called him to preach the gospel, and God is not saying nor forbidden in chapter 11 that he has not chosen Jews to preach. He's just saying that some of them are blind in part, or all of them are blind in part, and that God has put them on the sideline, pulled the Gentiles onto the main line, and now God is using the Gentile people, you and me, to get the gospel out. Amen. In the Old Testament, we had not been able to have a ministry like we have at Bible Way Baptist Church. We couldn't send the gospel out around the world. We couldn't have meetings like we're having today because Christ had not come. But now because the Jews have refused the Lord Jesus and been placed on the sideline, hey, we're been grafted in and God is using us today. Ain't you glad of that? Praise God. That excites me to know, thank God, that we are the old Gentiles who were classified in the Old Testament as dogs. Dogs, nothings. We were nobodies. I mean, they looked at us and shunned us. But God now has put us in the main line. Now that does not mean, and I will go over this again, I've said it several times in this study, in this series, but that does not say that the Gentiles were not saved in the Old Testament. They were. And it does not say that Gentiles could not be saved in the Old Testament, because many of them were. Amen. And I give you some illustrations, instances of that. And I'm not saying that God would not let Gentile nations get turned around, because Nineveh was a Gentile nation and they repented and God touched their hearts. Amen. So it makes a difference. You understand where I'm saying and where I'm coming from? But now we get to the New Testament. It's an exact opposite. And I told you about a parallel between them. Now, in saying all that, let me look at this. The Bible teaches us, as it were, in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. He went on to say this, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and knew not till the flood came and took them all away. And he said, but you can mark that down. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. And we're living in the days of Noah, like that. Things are going on just like that today. So we can mark that down in our list of signs of the times. One of the signs of the times of the Lord's coming is the days of Noah. Then in another portion of Scripture, I give you these before, as it were in the days of Lot. You remember in the days of Lot? Lot went down into Sodom and Gomorrah. And you remember there, he raised his family there and lost his family there too, a part of them. And so we know today that as it were in the days of Lot. And you don't have to be, I guess reminded today, but we are living in the days of Lot. I would have never believed we'd see what we're seeing in the streets of our nation, people. Amen. Men after men, women after women, and how that there's so much perversion going on across the land. Brother, we're seeing that today. We are seeing it. With all our eyesight, we can see we're seeing that. Well, when you get to looking at all that today, you get to thinking there's two signs. Now we've gone on, and I've kind of pointed out to you, and you will use this scripture, chapter 11 of the book of Romans, to tell us that as it was in the days of Christ, when the Sadducees and the Pharisees had forsaken and forgotten God, and they come into a place of modernism and liberalism, got in a place of just having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof in the days of Christ, Jesus was walking among them, and they couldn't even recognize him as the Son of God. What about that? I mean, the most religious people of the day were the Sadducees and the Pharisees. There was nothing else. I'm talking about any higher on the spiritual or religious totem pole, if you will. But in that day, they could not even recognize that in their own midst, in their own personal gatherings, they had the very Son of God, the Redeemer, the Messiah, amen, God in the flesh, God Almighty, sitting with them in their tabernacles. They couldn't recognize that. And we'll see as that as a parallel to our day. We've come to the place where religion has taken over. Man has a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. And we see today that even if Christ showed up in our midst, amen, across our nation, I know you would know the Lord, amen. But I'm saying there's multitudes. I'm talking about as a whole, this country does not know and would not even know that the Son of God was with us. Am I right? So you see that's happened. That's a parallel. When you see those things happen, you know it's happening, that it's close. Then we take the other thought that I preached on a few days or a few weeks ago, that over in the third chapter of 2 Timothy, this know also that in the latter time there'll be perilous times shall come. He talks about the perilous times shall come. And then when you see these things that are getting in the church, they're there, they're here, and you see all that's going on when believers, so to speak, are practicing these things that Paul said is not going on in his day, but he said it will come. We all know today that that's happened, and we know that we're in the last days. We also know today that the Bible said in the latter times that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Would you say today that we're there? I would. I'll say today that we have gone after other things in this world and spiritual things that we call spiritual things are not spiritual. And we have got the place that we call right wrong and we call wrong right. And we see it expressed every day. And this political correctness stuff, brother, you'll see today that's exactly what's happened. We're trying to stretch it and call good evil and evil good. And that's what they were doing in the Old Testament times. And the Lord said that's going to happen to us again. And we're seeing it happen in our day. So, hey, I know that the Lord is soon to come. I know it's not going to be far away, don't you? Now, I want us to look a little bit more in chapter 11. I want us to look at, we want to look at something here in verse 7 for just a moment. And we're going to read this verse 7 down through verse number 12. And then I want to comment a little bit on that. You know, I'm trying to get a summary of what we've learned out of chapter 11 and hope that it'll stay with you. Because that's how we're going to stay and get this and we'll get out of this subject and pick us up another subject. The Bible said in verse 7, what then? That's Paul speaking. Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Now their hearts have gotten hardened, and we'll find that this is where they're getting off the line, And then it said in verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the Spirit. Number one, three things here. I pointed these out to you when we come across them, I believe, before. Three things that God has given them. Three things that God has put upon them and for a purpose. Wasn't it God was trying to get even with them? But they did bring the judgment of God upon themselves. He said in verse 8, first thing that he gave them was the spirit of slumber. Now that's a habit of being sleepy about it. You ever get any, do you ever have a, I don't have a, sometimes I have that spirit of slumber spiritually, but a lot of times I have a physical, amen, slumber. Amen, that means you sit down in the easy chair 3 minutes and you're about gone. That's a spirit of slumber, physically. Amen. Sometimes I got that where I sit down or not. Yeah, when you're have the spirit of slumber, you're lazy and sleepy and yawning. Amen. That's, you catch yourself a yawning, you've got the spirit of slumber. Hadn't you? You ever notice somebody else? And it's catching too, by the way. Somebody will yawn right beside you, and next thing you know, you catch yourself yawning. It's catching. And so you have this. God said, I give you the spirit of slumber. In other words, when you're half asleep, or you have that little spirit of slumber about you, you're not concerned about what's happening around you. A lot of things you got to do and need to get done, but when you got a spirit of slumber, you don't care whether you do them or not. Is that right? That's what's happened. The Christians have got the place of spirit of slumber. We know we are to live right. God teaches us to live right, but we got a spirit of slumber, and we don't care whether we live right or not. Amen. That's it. So the number one, God gave them the spirit of slumber. Number two, he said the eyes that they should not see. In other words, they got physical eyes in their head, but they cannot see spiritually. They can see physically, but not spiritually. So God has not only given them a spirit of slumber, but he has touched their eyes that they cannot see. They're blinded. That's why he called it blinded in part. They can see with their physical eyes, but they can't see with their spiritual eyes, so they're blind in part. That's the second thing. So they cannot see where they are. That's why when you deal with a Jew, you talk to a Jew about Jesus Christ, you tell him that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for his sin, you tell him that he went to the grave and arose on the third day, and that if he'll trust him with all his heart, he can be saved and be birthed into the family of God and become a new creation, and he laughs at you. Makes fun of you. Why are we looking for the Messiah? Not Jesus, the Messiah. Why wouldn't he accept Jesus Christ? He can take all the miracles, all the New Testament scriptures. He can look them over and you can explain it to him, and he'll look at you and he'll shake his head and he said, you don't have it right. We don't even accept that. We don't want the New Testament. We hold to our Old Testament scriptures. They don't even have the New Testament. Will not have it. I'm talking about a true-blooded, a full-blooded Jew will not carry a New Testament. Get saved by the grace of God, he will. But he's blind in part. He's got eyes in his head, but he can't see. That's the second thing that God has given to the Jew. Number three, now I'm talking about the present time. At one time, he had eyesight like an eagle. He could see the Lord. He could see God, Jehovah, in the Old Testament. He followed him. You understand that? But today he's blind, partially blind. Then it said the third thing, ears that they should not hear unto this day. That's in Paul's day. And it has continued on to the day of through this day of grace. And it will continue on until the Gentiles are taken out of authority. That's at the rapture of the church. Understand that? We got it all together now, haven't we? We got to get it fixed in mind. So what's happened here is you look at it, we'll see it, and it's come to the place now. He said, hey, they've got ears on the side of their head, but they can't hear anything. They can hear physically, but they can't hear spiritually. They can hear you and I talk to them. They can hear others talk to them, but they can't hear from God because their ears are tuned away to a different frequency in a sense. And God has done that to them. You said, why would God do that? We'll talk about it in just a minute. It ain't because God just wanted to upset their apple cart. It's not because that they just decided they're going to do something different. God set it for a purpose. In verse 9, when David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. And it is. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, now notice this, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. God said, because of their fall and because their rejection, salvation has come to the Gentiles. God said, I give it to the Jew. He failed with it. He run with it and failed. And now I have given it to the Gentiles, and they're running with it, and they are failing with it. We're doing the same thing the Jew did. We're turning away from God. We're forgetting God. We're forsaking God. We're making our own way. We're doing what we want to do and not what God says. Is that right? We're seeing it before our very eyes. Then he said in verse 12, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminution of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And he's explaining, he goes on in verse number 13, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. And then for the next little while, in this next section, you're going to find that Paul, a little more involved in the Sunday school this morning, but looking at these things, you're seeing exactly what God has said. Now, God said that's the present of the Jews. Right there is the present. Verses number 7 down through verse number 12 is the present of the Jews. God's got them on the sideline. He's not forgotten them. He's not forsaken them completely. He's given them eyes to see, but not spiritual eyes to see. Physical ears to hear, but not spiritual ears to hear. But one day he's going to turn that. He said that in verse number 26, I believe it was. And he said in verse number 14, if by any means I may provoke to emulation, that means, you know, to make them evil, to strive with them which are my flesh, and might have some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Now I'm going to read this, and I'm skipping a whole lot of stuff right here, because it's going to take a lot of time, and I want to get out of this study. Verse number 16 said, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. What's he saying? If you cut off some of the branches, and that's what God has done with the Jew. He's cut off some of the branches. And what's he done? He's grafted in. We who are wild by nature, I mean, we are not in the Word of God called the elect of God in the Old Testament. We're the elect of God now. Are you with me? And God is directing the Gentiles over the Jews. So what's happened? Gentiles are failing. The Jews have failed. And one day God's going to the whole world with the Jewish nation to preach it together. And brother, there's going to be a time where God's going to have a kingdom, and it's going to be made up of Jews and Gentiles all over the world that's come through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, they're going to recognize it. Now, them Jews don't recognize that today. You remember the story, I believe it's in Zechariah. Let's see if I can find it right quick for you. And see if I can, I may not can find it. I know what the scripture is. I may just have to, it's in Zechariah chapter 13. Hold your place there in Romans 11 and go to Zechariah 13. The Jews don't understand this right now. They have got all messed up with it. They're blind, as we've just taught. They're partially blind and spiritually blind, not physically, but spiritually. And they can't understand that. When you hear these Jewish people talk, and they talk about God and they talk about Jehovah, they sometimes, you know, they amaze me, and I like to listen to them, and they don't really realize that they're bragging on God sometimes. In Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6, the sixth verse of Zechariah, And one shall say unto him, now this is what Israel's going to say when the Lord comes back, what are these wounds in thine hands? See, they don't recognize Jesus now. Then he shall answer, those which I was wounded, with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And you can see how God's plan is working out there, and I don't have time to get into that verse. But what I'm trying to tell you this morning is this. When Jesus comes back one of these days, they're going to say, where'd you get those wounds in your hands? Then they're going to recognize that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whom they have rejected and walked away from, they're going to recognize that he is the Messiah that they've been long waiting for, and the Messiah that they have refused, and the Messiah that they have turned from. How about that? They're going to recognize that. They don't see it now, but they will recognize that one day after a while. It's coming. It's going to be for sure. So we look at those things and we thank God for it. So that's what's going to happen to the Jew. God is going to bless him again. God's going to touch him again. And he tells us here in verse number 18, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. In other words, a little pride get in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Now, we can't brag about it. As a Gentile this morning, we can't brag about it. Well, bless God, God has picked us up and carried us on. Throw it away the Jew. Well, don't get too high-minded. Amen. Remember, it's because of unbelief. It wasn't because you had earned it or I had earned it or God thought we was better. No, siree. God said because the Jew has cut off or has rejected me, I have cut him off. And because he has gone his way, done his thing, because he has forsaken me, walked away from me, now I have accepted and taken the Gentile in. And we've been grafted in on the olive tree. The olive tree always represents Israel. I told you that we come through it. The olive tree represents the people of God, the Jewish nation. And so he said here, we're not to be high-minded. For if God spared not the natural branches, that's the Jew, take heed lest he also spare not thee. God said if he didn't spare the Jew, don't get so heady and high-minded to think that God is going to let you get by. Amen. It's going to change, isn't it? God wants us to remind us. Because we went through that in verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. We went through the goodness and severity. The goodness of God is that God chose the Gentile. The severity of God is that God cut off the Jew. And you see that. Verse 23, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. God said, if you do the same thing the Jew did, I'll take you out. I'll put them back in. And that's exactly what's going to happen when the rapture of the church takes place. The Gentiles' days are over, and God will resort and refer back to the Jew, and he will say to the Jew, I am going to use the Jew from now on, and he will seal that 144,000 of Jews. They'll go through the world preaching the gospel, and the Gentiles will be on the sideline listening. And the Gentiles that have heard the gospel, have not received the gospel, have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, that are left here when the church is taken out, God will bring on them strong delusion, which I'm going to close with this morning in Thessalonians. I'm going to show you what he's going to do. Did not God blind the Jew? Did he? Has he not been blind today? I said, well, ago he had eyes, but he can't see. Right? Okay. Now let's turn to the book of Thessalonians. And let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'll close with this morning. This will get our summary. In the second chapter of Thessalonians, chapter 2, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, the day of Christ is when the Lord takes over and he begins to bring judgment on the earth. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And we've got that, haven't we? And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, he's not going to be revealed, the son of perdition. That's the Antichrist. He's not going to be revealed until the church is taken out. Verse 4 said about the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that's what the devil's been trying to do through the ages. Got thrown out of heaven for it. Been doing the same thing, and after the Lord comes, he's going to try to take and rule again. Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know that what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. He's talking about the Antichrist. Now verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And that's speaking of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't have time to break these down. And then shall that wicked be revealed, the Antichrist, after the Lord comes, amen, after the Spirit of God's taken out, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, look at verse 11. Here's where I wanted to get to, and yeah, I read all that to get here. Verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send strong delusion that they should believe a lie. This is to the Gentiles. Those who are in the day of grace today, after the rapture of the church takes place, God will send strong delusion to those who have left, who have been left, that have heard the gospel and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God sends that strong delusion, they will become like the Jews are today. They'll have eyes, but they can't see spiritually. They'll have ears physically, but they can't hear spiritually. And God will block them off. Then it said in verse 12 that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God said, because they wanted that, they rejected me. Amen. They rejected me. God cut off the Jew like that, and many of them died and went to hell. In that rejected state, they've already died. I'm talking about the last 2,000 years. Many of them have died. Amen. Been cut off, they're blinded. And God done the same thing here. He gave them the opportunity, but they refused it. That's the judgment of God. That's the severity of God. And we can get into some deep subjects right here, but I don't want to open up another can of worms. But I want to take time this morning to say this, that God will send strong delusion on that crowd that has not heard the that has heard the gospel and rejected it. The only ones, I believe, somebody said, can Gentiles get in the tribulation? Those who have never heard the gospel will be preached to, and they can get in. But if they have not heard the gospel, a bunch of Jews that said down through the years, no, away with him, crucify him, let his blood be on us and our children, they lost it. They cut themselves off, and God cut them off because of that. All right? And that's a summary of this. Now let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege of prayer, calling upon your name. Use the remainder of the service for your glory and honor. May the Lamb of God be lifted. And Lord, may you be exalted to the highest place we could put you today. And Lord, may we find our place at the house of God. Stir our souls, send the Spirit of God, send conviction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.